Awaken Your Alpha, episode 24, Com Mesa.
Welcome. Check out this fantastic podcast, tracking down the finest alpha minds on the planet for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Words they live by. For example, put the cookie down. Origins, biggest failures, fears, awakening moments, Yoda questions, yin yang, the alpha round, and their wake-up question to finish. The Awaken Your Alpha podcast. Live limitless. Get to the podcast.
Okay, guys, we have a seriously exciting one for you today, guys. We have Com Mesa on the line today. And just to give you a brief overview, because we just talked about this, we can't go into detail just on everything on the bio, but he's in 27 companies in 7 countries, and he has a net worth of over $500 million. Booyah. So, on that note, Com, silly question, but are you ready to awaken your alpha?
I am ready, man. I am wide awake.
Brilliant. I mean, I just let everyone know how I met Com. I was lucky enough to meet Com in Vegas earlier in the year. And it's an interesting story from my point of view that you won't probably know this. I got in a day early or so. So we was at this a smaller gathering of people, sort of about 10, 15 of us. And we was all just sitting in the room, going to go through some bits and bobs, a little bit of masterminding. And Com was just sitting there quietly going about his business, sort of in the room with us. Initial thoughts, a real sort of down-to-earth guy. And then I didn't even know. I sort of saying hello to different people. And then Com jumped up to have a word and dropped the bombshell of the stats I just introduced him by. And, you know, it's really just drove home to me about you can never make judgments about people. And, you know, in today's day and age, unless you ask people questions and actually interested in them, you can completely, you know, make the wrong judgment if you don't investigate these things yourself. So, dude, I just wanted to say, like, you just are so down to earth, and it was really good to meet you.
Man. Likewise.
And your story when you got up and told us basically what you went through is your story. And again, I took home from that just how many times you had failed, but you're just relentless and kept going. That could be the name of your episode, actually, Relentless. And just kept going and just absolutely smashed it. So could you tell us a little bit about your origins, please, of like how you got from, you know, a young little Com to $500 million, which is crazy.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up, I was born in Pakistan. I left when I was 2. I moved to the States, and then I moved to Canada, and I grew up and I was educated in Canada. I started my first business when I was 7 years old, almost 7 years old. It was a lemonade stand. I franchised it out with the neighborhood kids, made like $900 profit. So I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I was really passionate about entrepreneurship. And in my teens, I started my first company. It's a software company. And I had these grand plans of how this software was to change the world, but unfortunately, no one wanted to buy it. You know, and this was after I developed it and poured all this money into it.
Changing the world is tough.
Long story short, I launched 7 companies back to back, and I filled in all of them. And that really, really taught me like a degree in entrepreneurship. And then on my 8th company, I didn't have any money left. I didn't have anything going for me either. I couldn't buy and sell things and make money. And so I borrowed money from friends and family, and I started my 8th company. And it was a software for used car dealerships. And I proceeded within 6 months to go bankrupt.
That's another aspect, isn't it? When you've borrowed friends and family's money as well, that's like an added pressure, especially if you're going to go bankrupt.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nightmare. I was bankrupt and I owed everybody I knew money. It was really, really bad. I went through like a state of depression for 2.5 months. And I was like thinking, you know, to me, it's like entrepreneurial suicide, right? Thinking of writing a resume is like the worst thing an entrepreneur can start to do.
Yeah.
Because that like takes you totally away from your dream, you know, and who knows how long it is before you get back to your dream. So
how old were you when this happened, when that you kind of that was like a rock bottom?
I think I was 18, man. It's in my teens.
You failed fast. I mean, like you say, the experience you got by 18, most people don't get in a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I dropped out of high school, my fourth company. So I had all this time. I wasn't really, you know, studying in school or anything like that. I was just out there really grinding and hustling and trying to make something of my life business-wise. And so after the whole, you know, depression bit, it was really bad. Worst time of my life.
Yeah.
But at like two and a half months of depression, I finally kicked the depression and I started my ninth company. And it was the same thing that I did in the eighth company, except this time I knew what I did wrong and I took another run at it. I didn't have any money. I borrowed money from two of my friends. Well, basically, like, you know, I borrowed $350 from them to register the corporation. I went out and I started getting clients. And long story short, I was able to get myself out of debt. I built up a really successful software company for used car dealerships. I was doing about 30, 40 grand a month in residual income. I had paid off all my debts, but I didn't reinvest into the business. And of course, such a fast-paced business where if you don't have a version two, a version three, you kind of get left behind really fast. And then I wasn't doing that. I was in debt and I was kind of just paying off all my debts. And I started to get competitors. And long story short, I started to lose a few clients. And I really wanted to, at that point, exit the business. So I ended up selling it to my first client. It was worth probably about 150 grand at the time. And I sold it for 60 grand, which was much, much lower. But I really wanted out of the business. I wanted to do something else. I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. So kind of like sabotaged, you know, the ability to sell it for a higher price. But I got out of it. And then I moved to London, England. I started my 10th company. And the 10th company.
This is where the magic happens, isn't it? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the magic. Well, it was a rough, really rough start.
One of the best stories I've ever heard is when it, like, the details of when it finally kicks in and happens. Would you say, what we're going to talk about in a minute, knocking on that door and just when it literally got to the 11th hour and it looked like it was going to go, well, the wrong way, would you say that was an awakened moment, or was that just where sort of luck met just hustle and opportunity? I mean, you're going to tell us about that.
I think it's a bit of both, man. You know, I'd obviously, like, you know, given my full effort, done everything humanly possible I could have done. And then I kind of just left it up to God at that point, you know. And so my 10th company, I had 50 grand at the time. I poured it into the development of the software. And I ran out of money. So I borrowed money from my brother, made him a 50-50 business partner. And I ran out of money again. I poured through all this money. I got the software developed and I was kind of like guerrilla marketing. I was going to my friends and like, hey man, use my platform, you know, you can save money and things like that. And,
it was a betting, yeah, really, betting platform, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's a person to person betting exchange. So you can place odds, bets and wagers on anything. You can say Barack Obama's going to win the next election by 500,000 votes, £1,000. And I can come along and take your bet. So, and then we act as a financial services company. So we take both parties' money in escrow and we make sure the winner gets paid. And we charge a 3% commission for it. Ran out of money again. And then I was able to get this advertising deal. And I don't want to go into like the whole story. It's pretty long, but I had like, you know, 500 pounds left to my name and I was whining and dining this advertising executive for like 3 weeks. And I was down to my last 50 quid, you know, and I had literally like paid for the dinner and worked out this deal where he would advertise. It was like banner advertisements around the arenas, like jockey clubs and things like that. And I worked out the deal, and the deal was I was supposed to put 500,000 pounds up front, and then they would minus it from my advertising slots as they ran them. And then long story short, we got hit with like this regulation fine that said, basically, it's like, you know, what's the guarantee I don't take all the money in my platform and take off to the Caribbean?
Yeah.
So our bank at the time, which is the Bank of Scotland, basically said, you have to ring fence that money with us. So you basically have to bond your platform. So if you're going to process 1 million pounds to the platform in a day, you have to, you know, ring fence and bond that 1 million pounds with us in escrow. So in order to handle escrow transactions, I had to put money in escrow, you know, which was crazy, but
yeah,
I didn't have £1 million. I didn't know anyone who had £1 million. I literally flipped open the phone book and I like shortlisted like 300 companies and I cold called them all and set up meetings. I set up like 60 something meetings, but I didn't have any money to get to these meetings. Story of my life, right? And
yeah.
And I borrowed money from two of my friends. One of my friends was he was about to buy a car for school, and he's like, "Come on, man, I'll take the bus for 6 months. You know, this is your dream. Here, man, take the money." And my other friend, he had got tuition money for school, and he's like, "Man, I'll pay for the first semester, and I'll get a part-time job for the second semester, you know, and here's the money. And so they gave me 18 grand in my like absolute desperation, low of low times. And I went and I literally pounded the pavement. And I had 60 days before they were going to shut my company down. And I had like 66 companies to see. So I had like some days where it was like six rejections in a day and things like that. But I didn't really lose any enthusiasm. I was on the clock, you know, and I really had to get that investment or everything would have been belly up pretty much. And I would have lost the money that my friends just invested into me too, you know, with their life savings. And so I had gone to like 51 meetings, got rejected back to back. 52nd meeting, I got rejected and the guy kicked me out of his office and called me a wanker and a loser and the biggest idiot in the world. And I took a really big verbal beating from this guy. And it was a 3-hour meeting. So it was like he asked me every question in the book and I had every answer. And then, you know, he asked me what I did before that. And I'm a really transparent person. So I was like, man, I failed in my first 7 companies and went bankrupt on my 8th and, you know, sold my 9th and this is my 10th company. And he didn't really like that. He didn't want to invest into some guy who was a big risk like that.
But wasn't he the sort of guy that literally wasted your time, reeled you in, and then he got a reputation you found out later for literally just doing this and then absolutely hammering people just for fun, basically?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this guy was like a born asshole. You know, like as much as you can find a born asshole, this guy was it, you know. And like he had sat me down for 3 hours, asked me every question in the book, and then like kicked me out of his office. I thought I was going to get the money, you know. So like when the meeting went past 15 minutes, I was like, oh man, I'm going to get the funding. And I was on like cloud 9. And then when that happened, I wasn't prepared for it. So that really, really threw my confidence out the window. I left and I had 30 hours before they were going to shut my company down.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm bawling my eyes out. I can't sleep, you know, and I'm like, man, everything's going to go belly up. And literally I was like, I don't have any more meetings left. Like I had gone to all the meetings that I had booked. And literally like I was like, man, you know what? I'm so desperate right now. I'm just going to freaking go back to this guy's office tomorrow and ask him for the money again. You know, and then maybe he'll give it to me or something. You know, I was just in complete desperation mode. So.
Right away, how many people are going to do that? Literally no one. That is like, literally, again, doing the opposite of what is popular, basically. And you might get a result. Who knows? Well, we'll find out what happens.
Yeah. Really, I if I was, you know, if I wasn't desperate, I never would have done it. I never would have had the balls to do it, you know. But I was, you know, in pure desperation mode. So I had gone back and I got there really early and his secretary was there and she was like in shock that I came back. She's like, what are you doing back here? You know, like, are you crazy or something? You know, and I said, you know, I'm going to ask him for the investment again. And then she told me, she's like, you know, you don't understand. This guy does this to everybody. He kicks people out of his office all the time. And then I felt a lot better because I couldn't pinpoint why the whole situation happened the day before. And now I just knew the guy was a born asshole. So, you know, I felt a lot better. And I had like every intention to ask him for the money when I walked through the door. But when I saw his face, like literally everything from the day before came back. You know, and I was like, man, where's your self-respect and your dignity? You know what I mean? Like, some guy doesn't give you the money, big deal. Like, you know, you failed so many down times. You can just try again, you know, type of mentality. And I walked in and right away he got to, you know, being his usual asshole self. He was like, you know, what are you doing back here? I thought I told you to get the fuck out of here yesterday and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then I just, for all it's worth, I was just trying to get some self-respect back. And I was like, you know, you and one day you're going to work for me and you're an asshole and blah, blah, blah. And,
oh man.
Yeah,
I bet that turned into this. I bet that helped you out. Good for the morale at the time.
Yeah, it felt great, man. To be honest, it felt awesome. As I was leaving, I saw this white door, this white sign that the neighboring office with the Capitol on it, and I had just this gut intuition, this instinct to go knock on the door, and I went and knocked on the door, and it was really early in the morning, so the CEO opened the door and he asked me, he's like, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I just want to let you know your neighbor here is an asshole, you know? Worst opening pitch ever, right? He started laughing his head off, and I assumed he knew what his neighbor was up to all the time. And so he invited me in, and he, you know, he's like, can I help you? And he got me coffee. And so I literally sat down and explained to him I was looking for investment for my company. And a long story short, it turned into another 3-hour meeting. And then at the end of the meeting, he cut me a check. He cut me a £1.6 million check. And I had 6 hours left. And I had 6 hours left before they were going to shut my company down. And I got to the bank, and the bank's like, this is fraud. Where'd you get this money? You know, and I was like, someone invested into my company. They're like, where's your contract? And because I explained to them the sensitivity of the situation, he said, you know, don't worry about it. We can draw up the contracts later. And the deal was 20% equity, and he would invest $1.6 million. And when we would make the money back, we would give him his entire $1.6 million back, and he would retain his 20% equity. So it was almost like a sweetheart deal for him as well, and as well for me too, because I was absolutely desperate. It's either I got that money or, you know, I would have said yes if he wanted 90% of the company. You know, and I wasn't in a position.
Yeah, because, well, if he didn't want any of it, there was pretty much no company as well.
Then he came down to the bank and said, you know, cash the check or I'll close all my accounts and take my business somewhere else. And then the bank manager got a little nervous and cashed the check and everything, and the advertising deal went through. And so we ended up scaling the company up, and the very first year we did $250 million in transactions through our platform, and we take a 3% commission, so a little over $8 million, $9 million in profit. And I paid my investors back short. I sold that company last month. I had it for 11 years, started in 2003. I sold the company for nine figures. I had 37.5% equity left. My equity in the company, and I cashed out everything and made a little bit more money than the valuation that I thought I had. And then 4 days later, I had a baby girl, and so last month was an insanely awesome month in terms of happening in my life.
Oh man, well, just like, it's like double, triple congratulations. But I mean, how did that feel? Like 11 years of obviously just in that business hard graft, but we've just heard the story to get to that point where it all starts to blow up, and how close it was to being like another failed company. How did that feel to sell that company and, you know, it's complete, it's a closed loop, you've got out?
Yeah, it felt awesome, man. I can't like express as much as, you know, as much as I felt, but I was literally on cloud nine, you know. In 2013, the last year before we sold it, it did like $3 billion in transactions, like $75 million in profit. So it was, you know, it's been growing year on year. I got into like venture capitalism, and I got into investing and things like that. You know, I can't launch things fast enough. So I started investing into entrepreneurs, and typically we're a seed stage fund. So we invest anywhere from like 25K to 250K. Long story short, I invested into about 92 companies in the last 5-6 years, and 85% of them failed. 85% of them were massive failures, but 15% of them did succeed. And the 15% in the tech world, you really only have to be right once or twice.
I was going to say, you've shown from your point, you have one success and you are game on.
That's it. Yeah. One real good success, and it kind of pays for all your losses pretty much. Now I spend about 50% of my time evaluating proposals from like entrepreneurs around the world. We get like 60 to 80 proposals a week. And then 30% of my time is spent launching new projects and ventures that I'm really passionate about, that are like social businesses. They have a, you know, like a social goal as well as a profit-minded goal. Kind of like this shift that I've been going through as an entrepreneur, instead of just being financially motivated to be thinking about contribution and value and legacy and things like that. So I spend 20% of my time just like free time with my family. And then about in that 20% of my time, the free time, I usually do these masterminds around the world. So
yeah, no,
I have a really...
They look very cool.
Yeah, they're really awesome. I have a really cool mentor out of Dubai, and he's a billionaire. And he he had a radical shift on my life, made me see the bigger picture and kind of made me understand contribution. And one of the agreements between our relationship was that I contribute, you know, and I make it a commitment, a priority to contribute and help others. So we host like a mastermind once a month somewhere in the world, usually different cities and things like that. Doing that, and I've been loving it since. You know, I get to meet really cool entrepreneurs. It helps with our deal flow, because sometimes I find things to invest into with other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, just need an outside perspective a lot of times, because when you're in it, it's so hard to see sometimes until someone points it out.
That's it, yeah. And if you have like people who are, you know, 100 millionaires or people who are at a much higher level of operating in terms of entrepreneurship, they can see things in a different way than you can see them, you know. And we helped 49 entrepreneurs reach the million mark and beyond. We've helped over 300 entrepreneurs hit low six figures to high six figures in their businesses and stuff. So it's immensely rewarding, you know.
It's very addictive. Awesome. Well, come on. I'm very aware of your time, because obviously from what we've heard, you have got lots going on. So I'm going to just ask you a couple of questions. This is our Yoda question. Who helped you awaken your alpha? Who helped you take it to that next level? I know there's some serious internal drive and hustle. Was there ever a figure, a Yoda figure, who just unlocked? We mentioned one of your mentors currently. Is there someone who helped?
So I've been very fortunate. I've always had mentors along the way that saw the potential in me as an entrepreneur. And I've incredibly been able to outgrow every mentor that I've had, except for this last one, you know, and this mentor is worth like five times as much as I'm worth, you know. He's very successful. He's just a brilliant businessman. He's not even in the tech world, you know, he's into the building materials and things like that, like construction and things like that. But he's a really, really brilliant businessman. And he's like all about legacy and he's all about contribution. And he's so charitable and philanthropic. And he had like probably he was the Yoda. He had like the biggest profound effect on my life, you know, changed the way I operate as an entrepreneur. It made me stop chasing dollars, you know, and trying to do things that are just financially impactful and do things that are much bigger. I call it dream chasing, and I'm always chasing my dreams. You know what I mean? And
I love that name.
Trying to get people to chase their dreams too, and create a community of people that are all about their dreams and stuff. And so yeah, he's definitely Yoda, man. He's like Luke Skywalker, Yoda, Darth Vader, pretty much everybody all in one, man.
That is awesome.
He's badass.
Okay, well, I'm gonna hit you up with this then. This is the complete blank around. I'm gonna ask you to complete the. If I was ever to visit Dubai, then I should.
You should come visit me in my home in the Burj Khalifa, the world's tallest building. I'll give you a kick-ass VIP tour. We'll take you to the top of the world, and we'll show you the whole thing. It's an awesome building, amazing architecture and structure. And
well, you
really awe-inspiring stuff.
You said that now, mate. Watch out. Right. Your best friend would describe you as?
So I have a couple of best friends, really cool people, and one of them just calls me crazy. That's his end word to every sentence, you know, and others usually call me a VC or a serial entrepreneur. So it's either one of those three.
Crazy.
All of them kind of mean crazy.
Awesome. Okay. What is your favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie, it's an Indian movie. It's a Bollywood movie. It's called Guru. And it's the story of, it's like a biographical story of this Indian entrepreneur who runs a company called Reliance. He started a company called Reliance. And he's dead now, but his children have taken over. And Reliance is the biggest company in India. It's listed on the stock exchange. It's like, you know, for someone like myself who came from that part of the world and to see someone do something so amazing like that. And his story is so inspiring. Like he had gone through so many things and he was just such a hustler and a dream chaser, you know, and his story is just amazing. A brilliant entrepreneur, you know, and he's the most successful entrepreneur to ever come out of India, you know, a country of 1.3 billion people or something like that. So it's really, really inspiring person.
I'd say that's, I've never heard of that. That's definitely one that people haven't come across as commonly as a lot of other films that people pull out. When you hear the word successful, like who springs to mind or what springs to mind?
That's a really good question. So I define success as two things. One is and this is like pretty self-explanatory, it's financial success.
Yeah.
So it's being able to have, you know, the money to do everything that you want to do in life and take care of the people that you want to take care of and things like that, which I achieved fairly early after a turbulent journey. But and the second success is like more of a humanitarian success. So, you know, what am I remembered for as a human being? And I like to kind of classify Bill Gates as the prime example for this, because he's, you know, at one point his wealth had peaked at like $100 billion and he had given away $35 billion to his foundation. He had got Warren Buffett to give another 30 something billion, you know, so he has the world's biggest endowed foundation in the world. We live in a time now where people care about social causes and, you know, things like that. So entrepreneurs are not just entrepreneurs. They're like hybrid entrepreneurs now. They're, you know, they're trying to make impact in the world. They're trying to make money. They're trying to add value or, you know, provide a great product or service. And I think Bill Gates embodies like the peak of what someone can kind of do in that arena, pretty much.
Definitely. That sounds brilliant. I mean, linked to that, I'm just going to chuck it out there. No one knows about this, but I have visions for the, you know, Awaken Your Alpha. And I literally have visions of an Awaken Foundation where I literally go around Africa to really deprived areas. And we literally just do almost like the interviews now. We just give talks and tools and resources on how to be just like a ridiculously awesome entrepreneur and just hustle in your environment isn't like going to determine how successful you are. And just ideas like that, traveling around, sort of thing they don't get exposed to, sort of almost like teaching them to fish as opposed to giving them handouts type thing. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I think it's brilliant, man. Cool. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I resonate with it a lot. And I think, like, you know, the toughest thing about these things is, like, I tried as much as any other entrepreneur tries to save the world, you know, in a loose sense of those words. But I tried to save the world and I couldn't make impact in a lot of areas. So my best advice is to pick one core area or niche to, like, your impact. Like, make that the corner of your world that you want to impact. And then once you get results in that thing, you can kind of scale and go vertical into other areas to help. Like, and that's like the basis of doing it. Otherwise, it's like you're spreading yourself too thin. You're trying to do too much stuff. But and it's tough, you know. And the worst part is letting people down when, you know, they have no one else to look up to or look out for but you, you know.
I thought it'd be a silly opportunity for me to not mention that to you and see what your thoughts were, because obviously you got some experience.
I think it's brilliant. I highly encourage you to do it. You know, I think you're going to leave a profound impact on the world.
Well, this thing, I absolutely love that continent as well. And it's not actually that far from England at the moment, you know, straight down. So,
yeah.
I see a lot of potential there. But okay, cool. Now we're at the alpha round to finish. And we're going to start that off. Could you recommend a good book that you think would be worth? You've obviously given us a good movie, a good book that you think would be worthwhile us reading.
I found the biggest thing that impacted my ability to be a good entrepreneur was mindset. Whereas previously I was struggling and failing, it's because my mindset was just, you know, thinking about how to survive, not thinking about how to thrive or create, you know, contribution or impact. So I'm sure many people have mentioned this, but Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill was a really great book that had a profound impact on me. And it wasn't so much as like, you know, here's a bunch of practical stuff, go apply it. It was literally like, look, everything starts with the mind. And if you can get the mind in the right place, you know, everything then tends to fall into place. Like I read it like 18 times. So you can imagine how much I got out of it by rereading it and things like that.
Exactly. Well, that's what we want to find out. Because obviously, someone like yourself who literally, was it 3-4 years you're going to be a billionaire? It's good to catch some tips off someone who's on that route, definitely.
Yeah, hopefully, man. That's the plan.
Cool. So have you got a particularly high-tech resource that you use regularly and a particularly low-tech resource? And I'm interested in your high-tech one with your background.
I'm going to tell you something that I do that probably most people don't do, or maybe they do. I don't know. But it's worked really, really well for me. And I find when you're an entrepreneur, you're overloaded with responsibility and problems, you know, and every day you're putting out fires, you're trying to, you know, scale things and you're trying to get progress. But every day, you know, you have these immense challenges and we kind of lose sight of appreciating life. We kind of lose sight of being grateful for things and we kind of lose sight of, and that attitude helps tremendously in being able to see things through to the end and complete things, you know, have the stamina and endurance to stick it through and not give up and things like that. So it's like this balance. So what I do is, it's really simple. Anyone can do it. I go into my iPhone. If anyone has an iPhone or whatever, I'm sure you can do it on other platforms as well. But I go into my iPhone and there's a reminder section and I'll put in a reminder 24 reminders a day. So once every hour, my phone will go off just like it's a call and I'll look at the reminder and I'll give myself like, I have 100 reminders, but I kind of fill different ones for different weeks, but I give myself 24 reminders a day. And when it goes off, it's like, you know, call your wife and tell your lover, you know, call your family and tell them, you know, thank you for all the, you know, support for all these years. And like, call your employees and, you know, give them a gift or, you know, do something for someone else that can never repay you. And I kind of put like 24 things throughout my day that keep me really, really grateful and appreciative of, you know, where I am in life and what I'm doing and the privilege that I have to be in the position that I'm in. And that kind of helps tremendously with keeping me positive and happy throughout the day. It's like, if you can smile 24 times a day, you know, every hour, you're doing 10 times better than those people who don't smile for weeks on end. You know what I mean?
I'm all over that. I'm onto that, definitely. Okay. What do you think was holding you back when you was going through them failed businesses? I know obviously it's a learning curve and you were learning loads, but why did it take so many to, you know, to go the way you wanted it? What do you think was holding you back? Was it just bad luck or what do you think?
It was a combination of things. Like obviously, like as new entrepreneurs, we're really ambitious, but we're very impatient. You know, and when things don't work out right away, we're like, oh man, this, you know, why am I doing this? You know, and that differentiates the people who really want it from the people who just say they want it, you know, and I've always really wanted it. So I didn't have too much of that problem. But what I did have was the lack of experience. And, you know, I'm a high school dropout. And then the second thing was the lack of mentorship. Because I didn't have these people who were operating at much higher level or doing things that I wanted to do, and I was surrounded by, you know, the gangsters and drug dealers and like the dropouts and like the people who were going nowhere in life, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like a sum of all those people that I hung around with. So yeah, so definitely mindset does have a, you know, a part to play with it. Lack of experience had a part to play with it. Lack of mentorship definitely had a part to play with it. And then the company that I kept, my association. So now, like, just to give you an example, the 100 people that I talk to most now, probably 10 of them are family, and then 90 of them are entrepreneurs, and not just any entrepreneur, but entrepreneurs who love what they do, you know, are contributing in some way or are successful in some way, shape, or form. And that's had a profound impact on like my daily energy and my optimisticity and my positivity and everything like that. Huge. Yeah. It's like getting a news feed. It's like watching CNN, but instead of getting 95% negative things, you know, you're getting 95% positive things, you know, and it just, it reinforces things a lot. So yeah, definitely build, you know, be careful who you associate with. I know, I mean, we all have that odd friend that, you know, we really love, but it's going nowhere in life.
Yeah, you know, it's not good for you. Yeah, you have to mention care for them before you meet them, because you know what's coming.
That's it. You know, and they drain your energy. They drain your brain power, and you feel sympathetic and sorry for them. But you know, this, you know, even if you were to give them a job or give them like a business, they would still fail in it. You know what I mean? They wouldn't take it serious or anything like that. So it's like you keep them as friends, but you try to associate less with them and try to associate more with people who, you know, who are going where you're going and who have the same, you know, same goals and ambitions in life.
Definitely. Okay. If you was to wake up tomorrow morning and you still knew everything we've just talked about, but, well, you had no company, you had none of your contacts, you were starting from square one, you had a clean slate, you've got your immediate family, and that is it. What would you do in that first day, in that first week?
And this is funny. I'm going to give you another example of it. So Donald Trump gets asked all the time, you know, if you had to start over, what, you know, how would you work your way back up? And he always says, I would get into network marketing, you know, and I would create this team and this downline that would kind of propel me to come, you know, and be a successful entrepreneur again, climb my way back up. For me, it's not network marketing. I think I have a few gifts and skills, and one of them is really curating or architecting an environment where you can bring really cool people together and have these profound transformations or breakthroughs. And for me, if I had to start all over again, I would literally find a couple of people who I think, you know, can speak and share a lot of knowledge. And then I would try to put on an event. I would try to find a sponsor to sponsor it. I would, you know, kind of take care of my overhead, so I had no cost to it. And then I would just literally go on Facebook or get access to a laptop, you know, and run traffic and try to do some kind of thing to run traffic to fill it up. And I think with like $1,000 or so, I with a properly executed plan, I should be able to make 100x on that, make about 100 grand, and then be able to grow that from there.
That is awesome. I think you've been reading my mind. Awakening an offer is coming. That's awesome. Okay. Who do you think I should interview next or very soon? This could be like literally whether I can get one or not is another question. So you could say Donald Trump, or you could say someone who's like a bit more off the radar that I wouldn't know about, or someone you might want to recommend.
So I have one of the cool things about the position that I'm in life now is I have a huge Rolodex of entrepreneurs who are successful and have all done amazing things. Yeah. So I could recommend to you, like, based on category, you know, if you want best-selling authors, or you want, you know, people who run podcasts, or you want people who are internet marketing entrepreneurs, info marketing entrepreneurs.
Okay, I'll go with it. Someone who's very entertaining and inspiring. I'm trying to be more specific. Entertaining, inspiring would be funny for the podcast, maybe a little bit crazy. It's up to you.
When you say this, man, like instantly, like Travis Jones comes to mind. I think you already I think you already probably interviewed him, but
he needs to get back to me. That's a good shout. Yeah.
Travis is a really cool guy. We connected in Dubai, and like we became really, really good friends, and now we're kind of semi business partners in like a couple of projects. And he's got a crazy story, man. He's got a crazy story. Yeah. Definitely recommend him to do it. I can put in a word too and kind of pressure him and tell him to do it. And I'm pretty sure we'll get him on.
Can you think then of an alpha woman?
So there's this girl. I have a mastermind this June 21st in New York City. It's a one-day mastermind. She's a guest speaker at it. I'm like a mentor to her. Her name is Sani Dash. She's an Indian entrepreneur, and she runs like a $50 million IT staffing, recruitment, and cosmetic line empire. And she does really, really well. And she started like dirt poor, like literally she has a really crazy story. So yeah, definitely she would be good.
What was the one question you wished I'd ask, or you thought I was going to ask and I didn't? You think I missed a trick, or have I kind of covered it?
I thought you were going to ask me, how do you fit into that blue and red tight cape spandex outfit that you wear and fly around in? But I guess you want to know about my fashion style, so no, I'm kidding, man. I think you pretty much covered it.
What does the future hold We talked about it, about the billionaire, but what does the future hold for Com?
I'll explain it like this. So it has nothing to do with the money. I've already made enough money to comfortably live my life for the rest of my life, my family and everybody, like for generations. So it's not about the money. I try to look at it like this. Like if I have the potential to drive at the speed of a Bugatti, but I'm driving at the speed of a Mustang, I'm doing myself a disservice. I'm doing the world a disservice. You know what I mean? And I'm really doing a disservice to God, who gave me these gifts and these talents and these abilities to go out and do something in the world. So I think if I don't live up to my true potential, you know, if I can be a multi-billionaire, or if I can be someone who creates a profound impact in the world, and I'm not doing everything in my power to do that, or, you know, chase that dream, then I kind of feel guilty. I feel like I don't deserve these gifts, or I don't deserve these talents and abilities. And the only way I feel deserving of them is if I continually try to improve them and use them to the best of my ability and try to impact the world. So I do have one cool question, though. I would ask, like, you know, if you had to pick one person who you know right now and create a business with them, you know, who would that one person be, and why would you pick them? I'm gonna flip the switch on your interview real quick, and I'm gonna say, Adam, you had to pick one guy, you know, and who would it be and why?
Ah, this is interesting. Well, okay. So currently at this current stage, and it's pretty much happening a little bit, but I don't know if you've heard of Brian Grasso. I interviewed him for the first, the clues are there, because I interviewed him and he ended up being the first episode that went out. And the reason I'd pick him, I'm sure a lot of people pick business partners or should do. I see a lot of, obviously I get on really well with him. I can quite easily imagine spending many nights either down the pub or doing business things and around the campfire. And I relate a lot to his backstory. I see a lot of similarities in his passions and his values. And much like you talked about surrounding yourself with people who are going to raise you up, definitely has that ability. And he's been where I'm going. He's already been there. So that would be it. Brian Grasso. And he is now doing a monthly slot on this show, and we've actually got some things in the pipeline for the future. So that would be it currently. So good question.
Awesome, man. Cool. I gotta look up Brian then.
And Com Mirza, because he's awesome. But,
of course.
No, I think Com Mirza would be brilliant for the Awaken Foundation down the road. But we'll see what happens. Some good work. But on that
awesome.
Note as well, if there's obviously... If there's anything I can ever do to help you out, return the favor in any small way, I will go out of my way to do what I can. Obviously, financially, like you said, you've got it covered. But, you know, if you need a crazy English person for anything, just give me a shout.
Sounds good, man. I actually, so I have a show that I filmed a couple episodes for and I'm launching. It's called The Failure Show. Okay. And basically, it's like we interview entrepreneurs and we ask them nothing about success. We ask them all about failure. And most of them are entrepreneurs. So, we ask them questions like, what's your worst marketing mistakes? You know, what's your worst sales mistakes? What's money management mistakes you made,
or
relationship mistakes and things like that? So we kind of try to get like the behind the scenes of an entrepreneur's life, you know? And so if you're ever up for it, love to interview on the show.
I want to do it. Yeah.
No, awesome, man. Sounds good. We'll set it up.
I say, I'm just so glad I got you on the show. Cause I mean, I like to say everyone agreed to do it straight away. Just quality guy, but for no fault of his own, he is on the ball and all over the place. He's having kids, selling companies, and it took a while for us to line this up. It was like the planets aligning, but I'm just so happy.
We
had no faith or lack of faith that it wasn't going to happen. It was just a question of when. So, Com, thanks for coming on. What's the best way people can get hold of you if they just want to, you know, dream chase and they just want to hear some more, which I'm sure they do?
Yeah, I'm a really social entrepreneur. I love meeting new people and talking to people and things like that, and just sharing ideas and things. So I'm really active on my Facebook. You can just go to Facebook. It's Com Mirza, Com space Mirza, and you can find me on Facebook and connect with me there. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much. Have a brilliant time, mate.
Awesome, man. We'll play phone tag and email tag with you now and try to chase you for 2 months and get it all in.
We'll get it in, man. Cool. All right. Cheers. Have a good day, and I'll speak to you soon.
You too, man. Thanks.
The Awaken Your Alpha podcast. Do the little guy a favor. Subscribe and review now. It'll help get him off my back. Live limitless.